blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell anyone in the town. In this passage of scripture, a blind man, a blind paralytic, is being healed by Jesus. When Jesus came to Bethsaida, they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. But when they are begging him, immediately the Lord is taking him by the hand and leading him out of the town. And when he was outside the town, the Lord spit on his eyes and put his hands on him. And he asked him if he saw anything. Then he looked up and he said, I see men like trees walking. Which meant that he was walking with his head bowed down. And after the Lord spits on him and places his hand on him, the Lord is asking, can you see anything? He lifts his head. And he says, I see men like trees, not clearly. If he was walking straight, then he would have looked up and he would have seen the sky. But he was looking down. This passage of scripture is about a man who knew the Lord one time. He knew the Lord one time and he had a vision. He had sight. When the Bible speaks about sight, it is eternal sight that is first and primary. To be eternally saved in Christ Jesus, who is the only way of salvation. This man had sight one time, but he lost it. And when he lost it, no longer could he rejoice. No longer could he be happy with the rest of God's people. But he is looking down and walking. The Lord leads him out, spits on him, places hands on him and says, can you see? He looks up. Which meant his head was bowed down in disgrace, in shame, in pain. The Lord places his hands again. And this time, he looks up again and he says, I see everything very clearly. And the Lord tells him, don't go back into this town. Nor tell anyone in this town. But go to your home. Don't go back into this town because you lost your sight because you went into this town. You lost your vision because you went into this town. That's why the Lord led him out of the town first and then gave him sight. The Lord is telling him, don't go back into this town. If you will watch and read every other miracle that Jesus did, every time the Lord did a sign, a wonder, or a miracle, he would say, go proclaim it in the towns. But this one man, he says, don't go back into this town. You lost your sight because you went into this town. This town is Bethsaida. When you will read Matthew chapter 11, you will find God's word saying, why God says not to go into this town is because, verse 20 and 21 says, then he began to upbraid the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. And he says, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So the city itself was cursed. Today, before I come to the message, when I was sitting outside, for the last 1 week, there was God breathing into my life in a powerful way, and he was giving me a beautiful spiritual baby in my spiritual womb. A baby where he said, I want to deliver it out. A message. I was asking God, what is the message for 2001? What is your vision, Lord? What is 2001 going to be like? What is your plan for the body of Christ? But today when I was sitting outside there, God told me, if they have to receive the word first, once again they need to fully come out of the places that they've gone into. There are some of you sitting here, one time you had a spiritual vision. You had an enlightenment of God's Spirit in your life. You could see things clearly, the way God wanted you to see. But you have turned away from God and gone back to cities or places which is ungodly, to your old nature. And you've lost it. And that is why some of you, when everyone is worshiping, you're looking about, you cannot be happy. You don't understand what it is. You think it is just youthful exuberance, some young people coming and making joy and jumping about. It's got nothing to do with age. It's got everything to do with the Spirit of God. When David danced, he was no young, he was a king when he danced before God. When Joshua shouted and jumped in front of Jericho, he was nearly 40 years and over. But you've lost your vision, you've lost your joy, because you have gone to places where you're not supposed to be. That is why in Romans chapter 12 it says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Don't conform it to the world once again, but renew it back and come back to God's ways. You remember, God is willing everyone who has walked in this place tonight, I have news for you, won't go back the same way you came. His hand, his right hand is upon this place to set you free, to bless you, to anoint your flesh. The Lord was willing to deliver Lot and his wife out of Sodom and Gomorrah on one condition. God said, when you're out, don't look back. Tonight, God is willing to deliver you out, whatever the bondage is. It might be a sin. It might be your prayerlessness. It might be your lukewarmness. It might be your dullness. It might be your unbelief. It might be your bondage, whatever forms it might be. God is willing to deliver you and bring you out, provided you don't look back. I have news for you. I'm not going to look back. I've given my life once for all to Jesus. I'm going to look forward and run. Tonight, I want to pray. First, then we want to spend some more time in thanksgiving. But before that, I want to pray for people whom the Holy Spirit has been convicting that you've lost your sight, that you've gone back, to come back to the Lord, to come back to Jesus. The Gospel of Luke chapter 15. The 15th chapter of Luke. We know that chapter. In the first is the parable of the lost sheep. Then the parable of the lost coin. Then the parable of the lost son. In this passage of scripture, you will find God is speaking about four kinds of people. One is the sheep. The sheep that has gone astray. The sheep that is no longer close to the shepherd. A sheep that has wandered away, gone its own way. And this happens to most sheep. They graze on good pasture for some time. After some time, they get tired. And they begin to look up and see. And it seems greener on the other side. So they begin to step out and go their way. Now after some time, they can see the other sheep somewhere there. But they are somewhere far off. In between, they can look back. The other sheep are there. They are here. But suddenly, the shepherd calls the sheep and keeps them moving on. And this sheep, after grazing on wild grass for some time, looks back and finds the rest of them are gone. It suddenly begins to find the wild grass is covering it, and no longer can it see the shepherd and the sheep. There's only one thing that the sheep needs to do. The sheep cannot save itself. It needs to be there and say, what? Baa. Baa.
And the shepherd, wherever he is, he will hear that voice. And he will come running for his sheep and draw it back. Some of you have wandered off, but tonight God is calling you back. We don't want to start the new year half in the kingdom of God and half in the world. Then this is no place for you. Last time, 31st night, I was so discouraged after spending that night in ministering on the 31st night. I went back home, and later I was so burdened because I began to find that some of them who had turned up the 31st night, they were there clapping and singing and celebrating Mass that night. And after that, they went straight from there to have some fun in some club. Morning, 4 o'clock, jamming out. You are fooling yourself. If that is so, then when the next song starts, you can get up and go. If you need to find the shepherd, you need to cry and come back tonight. And God will take you back. The second is the parable of the lost coin. What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The 10 coins. One time the coins were in circulation. You were one time used by God. You would serve the Lord. You would witness for Him. You would do that and this for the kingdom of God. Now you are out of circulation. It's lost. You lost that grace. You suddenly find that you're empty. The grace is gone. The anointing has lifted up. No longer do you have that warmth in your spirit. Do you know that a born-again person baptized in the Holy Spirit, he will have the flame of God burning in him. The warmth will be there. The minute the warmth goes, I'm scared. I go sit in prayer and say, "Lord, put in the flame, put in the flame, put in the flame, stir the gift." One time you were in circulation in the kingdom of God, now you have lost it. What did the woman do? She lit or light a lamb. The lamb, the word of God. In Psalm 119 and 105, God said, "My word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path." Lights the lamp, lights the word, takes the word once again. Sweeps the house. Allows the Holy Spirit to sanctify. And begins to seek diligently until she finds it. In those times, this woman here, you have to understand, she had 10 silver coins. In Jewish custom, when a woman is going to get married, the bridegroom on the day of engagement gives a necklace or whatever, what do you call it? Did you put it on necklace? Yeah. With 10 silver coins. It's given. And then she goes back home and a lamb is also given to keep it burning. And then after the engagement, the wedding is to come. She waits every day for the bridegroom to come. And the way she shows her love for the bridegroom is by keeping that lamb burning and making sure the gift of those necklaces, of those 10 silver coins, are not lost. It is dear to her. She keeps it. Every day she gets up and looks. One of these days the bridegroom is going to come. It is one of them that has been lost. Silver coin. Silver in the Bible stands for redemption. Some of you have lost your redemptive benefits that you once had in the
presence of God through the blood of Jesus. And you need once again to find yourself in the grace of God. But tonight I have news for you. God is willing to take you back if you'll come. The lost son, the younger one we know, had everything. The father gave him everything. He spent his life in prodigal living. Remember, Jesus said in John 1 and verse 12, to all those who received him and believed in him, he gave them the right to be called a child of God. In Romans 8 and verse 14, it says, those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. So a time comes when you learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit and you begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And then that God calls that maturity and God calls you a son before you were a child. In Galatians 4, the Bible speaks about Paul saying in the 4th chapter about little children. So there are children, there are little children. Some of you in the kingdom of God are children. Some of you are little children. Some of you are sons. You had one time had an anointing of God upon your life. You were led by the Holy Spirit. You could walk. If a child gets lost at Joe's Junction, this child might not be able to find the way back home. But a son gets lost. If my little nephew here, Matt, gets lost at Joe's Junction, he might not find his way back home. He will just stand there and cry. But if my brother Jamesh gets lost at Joe's Junction, he won't stand there and cry. He will get up from there and he will come right home. When you look into buildings, you will find sometimes in a business, Matthew and Sons. Or Jajuti and Sons or whatever. Which means that that person is a partner together with you in that business. You don't hear Matukuti and children. Do you? You don't. Well, the inheritance is there for you in Christ. Even as a child when you are in Jesus. But you learn to enjoy it and appropriate it into your life when you become a son. Led by the Spirit. Now the third person who is lost here is a son. He was no beginner in his walk with God. He had attended the charismatic renewal 20 years back. But he's lost. And then, when he was in the pigsty, Luke 15 verse 17 says, he came to his senses. A nice, good-looking Jewish boy doing in a pigsty. Pigs are an abomination to them. He would rather sit there among the pigs rather than get up and go home till finally sense prevailed over his life. There are some of you, I pray the Holy Spirit will bring in sense into your life tonight. Some of you sitting there in that pigsty. You need to get up and come back home because the Father is waiting with his arms stretched out. He's standing with his arms stretched out, ready to take you back unto himself. He comes back, says, once you were lost, but now you are found. Or there's a fourth person the Bible speaks about, the elder son. He is religious but miserable, like some of you. Religious but miserable. If I was not born again, if I was not in the kingdom of God, religious but miserable. And that person always looks at a young son come back to the Lord, and there is merrymaking in the house. There is dancing and clapping in the presence of the Father. He looks about angry, envious. Where do you fall in this fall? Tonight, the Lord wants to take you back. He once again wants to give you a spiritual vision.
He wants to give you that vision back to walk in the kingdom of God. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is the faithfulness of our God. I feel a strong anointing in this place for people to be loosed from their bonds and for them to make their way back into the Father's house. Can you smell the bread in the Father's house? If you can, then tonight the revelation is for you. Or do you smell the pigsty? The little young son there, he said, there is, even the servants in my Father's have plenty to eat. What about me? He could smell the bread. Some of you lost the hunger for the bread of life. You need to have that. If you'll get up from that pigsty, come back all the way. Repentance is not just getting up from the pigsty and moving halfway across. Some people are caught in between. In between they look to the pigsty. In between they look to the Father's house. They are not in the pigsty either. And they are not in the Father's house either. In between. Bar one. The in between thing. Caught in between. Not in the pigsty and not in the Father's house. If you have the courage to come to your sins and get up from the pigsty, Mike, may the Lord bless you. You need to go all the way into the Father's house and get intimate once again with Him. Then you will hear the merrymaking in the house. Then you will be able to jump up, rejoice in God. And the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. Tonight, before we come to the word for 2001, I want you to close your eyes and see if the Lord has been speaking to you tonight. Whether He's calling you to just humble yourself and come back to Him. Have you lost your spiritual sight? Do you need to come back? You just need to look to the Lord. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace. Only by grace. Tonight I want to pray for people who want to come back to the Father. It is a decision between you and the Lord. With your eyes closed, your heads bowed down. If you think that God has been speaking to you and you need the anointing of God coming back on you and the fire of God coming back on you, I want you to lift your hand, because that public proclamation itself is a sign of your humility and your desire to get right intimate back with the Father. And I want to sing the song as a prayer. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. And the Father will take you there. Make it a prayer from your hearts tonight.
Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavors, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us. You call us to come. Into your presence you draw. Into your presence you draw us. Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who would stand? Thanks to your grace, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand.
That's right.
Not by our human endeavor, you call us, you call us to come. Into your presence you draw us. Now by your grace we come,
we come.
Now by your grace we come.
Shall we stand in the presence of God to sing this song? Let us be your prayer tonight. You need the grace of God to come back upon your life. And as we pray, pray from your heart. The hand of God here is not to condemn you, not to put you on a guilt trip, but rather to set you free from your condemnation and bring you right back into the Father's heart. So make it this prayer tonight, and the power of God will come upon you and set you free. Come back to Jesus tonight.
Only by grace can we enter.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Only by grace can we stand.
I pray for your people in this place tonight.
Not by our human endeavor.
Every vessel in this place.
But by the blood of the Lamb.
In the power of your right hand.
In your presence, you God.
Will move upon the life. Set them free.
Into your presence you call us.
To come back to you tonight.
Now by your grace we come. We come.
Let them be repulsed by the smell
now
of the big sty. And let them smell the bread of the Father's house tonight.
Lord, if you mark our transgressions.
And make their way back to the Father.
Stand.
Let your anointing fall upon every heart and every life in this place. Break every yoke
of
sin and bondage in this place tonight.
Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand.
I lose people in the name of Jesus tonight.
Not by our human endeavor.
I release them
by the blood
from their chains.
The
let them receive their wishes. Lord Jesus, tonight I want you to keep your hand upon my life and bring me back to my spiritual vision. Restore my spiritual health. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, I say no to my Bethsaidas. I come out of my bondage. I come out of my Sodom and Gomorrah. I come to you, Lord Jesus. My home is in heaven. I proclaim my home as heaven. Jesus, it's by your grace that I enter there. So I proclaim you as my Lord, as my Master, as my Savior, and only God. I renounce sin. I renounce Satan. I renounce the devil. I renounce the world.
Jesus, wash me with your precious blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the joy of salvation. Give me the joy of salvation. I want to rejoice in your presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I want to eat in your house, Father. I thank you for having set me free. I receive my salvation. I receive my deliverance. I receive my breakthrough. I receive my release now. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and glorify his name. Hallelujah. Glorify his name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How many felt the power and the touch of God during this time of worship? Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you were drunk in the spirit? Drunk, really drunk. I mean, you felt your knees going wobbly and you couldn't stand. And you were going. Lift your hands. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. So many of you. Hallelujah. Amen. God is God. Still the night is young. Amen. God is just going to intensify the anointing and take us from glory to glory. From strength unto strength. From faith unto faith. Amen. If you believe that, look at your neighbor and say, I believe that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. One more time, give a clap offering to Jesus. He deserves all the glory and the honor. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah. I just want you to take 2 minutes to just sing the song one more time. It's a prophetic song before we come to the message. As in the days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, yet we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice in the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. Of Ezekiel, revival's becoming as well. And these are the days of your servant David, building the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in your word. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation.
That's right.
Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation. days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sorrow, if we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of jubilee, out of Zion. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation. The days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide as the world. And we are your laborers in your the word of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the cloud, shining on the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the cloud. At the trumpet call, lift your voice,
chapter of Hosea. I was asking God last week and a couple of weeks, right from the time when December, the month started, I was asking, Lord, what is the next year going to be? What is your plan? What is your purpose? Remember, we are people who need to walk by listening to the voice of God, not listening to the voice of the world, not listening to the voice of the enemy, but listening to the voice of God. And as we walk in listening to the voice of God, God will allow us to very scripturally know what His plans are for our lives, for our future, for the body of Christ as a whole across the world. And tonight, the word is from the book of Hosea, the 6th chapter. And the 2nd verse. Are you with me today? Amen. A very short message. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the 3rd day, He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the 3rd day, He will raise us up. When you read the 2nd letter of Peter, the 3rd chapter, you will find in the 8th verse God's word saying, one day is like 1,000 years in the eyes of God, and 1,000 days is like one day in the eyes of God. So as far as God is concerned, after the resurrection of Jesus, 2 days have passed, and we're stepping on to the 3rd day. Hallelujah. 2 days there was a move of God. But we're going to move into the 3rd day. Where God's power, God's revival is going to come and touch your life like no other time before. I'm so happy that I'm not living in the time when Peter and James and John were there. Because the Bible says, the glory of the latter day shall be greater than the glory of the former day. They experienced the glory of God when the fire of Pentecost fell upon them. But to the time that you and me are living in, is the time when the manifested presence of God, the Shekinah glory, is moving upon His people like no other time before. People who are sold out for Jesus, who have given all to the Lord, people who are hungry and thirsty, you will find that you will move into this anointing that is there in these times. You remember, the first miracle that Jesus did? If you will look to the scripture in John 2, the Gospel of John, the 2nd chapter, you will find this is how the Word of God presents itself. On the 3rd day, there was a wedding. On the 3rd day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. My brother, my sister, there was a wine that was available when it was served in the beginning of that wedding. But Jesus came and gave them another wine. And that wine was much more sweeter than any other wine that they tasted ever in their life. Some of you have not even tasted the first wine. And so you are unable to understand why this shaking and jumping, all that is about. Hallelujah. But there is some new wine available in this place. On the 3rd day is the day when God made the natural, the water supernatural. God is going to turn some vessels, some lives here that is just walking in the natural supernatural in these times. God is going to move His glory upon you. And you're going to taste and see how good the Lord is. Do you mean to say that people who follow the Lord, you remember Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman in the Gospel of John 4? The Lord said, if you drink of this water, speaking about the well, you will still thirst again. You have had 5 husbands, and the one who you're living with is not your husband, you will still thirst. You will still thirst for the world. You will still thirst for your flesh. But there's a water that I will give. If you will drink, you will never ever be thirsty for the thirst of the world again. The only reason people follow Jesus is because they have tasted the Lord. You try keeping youth into a theater for 3 hours for a movie, they will want a break in between. But you keep a youth that is touched by the grace and glory of God in the presence of God for 10 hours, you won't want a break at all. What do we expect on this third day? Look into the Word. In the book of Exodus, chapter 19. The 19th chapter. Of the book of Exodus. God is saying to Moses, God is saying on the 11th verse, let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the law will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. God is saying, let them be ready for the third day. That's right. You can make all the noise that you want in this place. We're having a revival here. Let them be ready for the third day. On the third day, the law will come down. I am glad. Can you imagine this? Rising finally, God speak. The water is on his mouth. The water is on his entire being. He's speaking in other tongues and glorifying God. Ezekiel just had the vision. You and me are living in it. Ezekiel had a vision and he glorified God in the vision. But you and me are living in the time when the manifested presence of God, the glory of God is flowing. I like to think the 1,000 cubits 3 times. It's mentioned there. The first time and the second time, the third time, the 1,000 cubits. Water was full and flowing. Third time. We are moving into the third time. Hunger and thirst for people. Hunger and thirst people of God for the Lord will bring in that presence into your life. Nothing else. The more hungry you are, the more thirsty you are, you will only drink in as much water as you are thirsty. If you are really thirsty, you will drink and you will drink and you will drink. God is moving. Look at someone and say, God is moving. I want to be in that move of God. Look with me to the scripture again. Into the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. You will find verses 32 to 36. There was a huge multitude that was coming after Jesus. And when this huge multitude came to Jesus, the Bible says, the Lord seeing that they were with him for 3 days, the Lord said to the disciples, what do you have with you? Do you have some fish and some bread? Bring it along. I'll multiply and give it to you. It is on the third day, the multiplication of the bread and the fish took place. The Lord knew they had left their city. They had left their home. They had left everything to just follow Jesus. I am telling you, my brother, my sister, you might be in this place. If you have left everything to follow after Jesus, there is a multiplication that's going to take upon your life. There is a multiplication that's going to take upon your life. God is going to give you and fill you with fresh bread from his glory and presence.
He's gonna fill you. That's why the Lord says, if anyone has left his father or his mother or his brother or his sister or anyone to follow me, this guy is lucky. He's gonna have some multiplication. If he's left his fields, he will have much more. If he's left his brothers, he'll have much more. Are you with me? Oh, I have left everything to follow Jesus. Nothing else matters to me but Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. I'm madly in love with Jesus. If you follow him, my brother, my sister, it might look you're far away from the city. None is there to help you. But remember, he's going to bring in that multiplication. And there are going to be some basketful left over. There is something left over. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Are you willing to move on to the third day? You remember in the Acts of the Apostles, the 9th chapter, there was this disciple. Before he ever became a disciple, remember, he was a disciple, his name was Ananias. But one day he's sitting in his home doing nothing, just a disciple, not a prophet. He's not an evangelist. He's not a pastor. He's not even an intercessor. He's just sitting there. But a couple of days before, there was a man by the name of Saul who was traveling on the way to Damascus. And the light of God's presence came upon his life. He fell down by the power. And he was blind. And he's sitting there, and the Bible says in Acts 9, he was there 3 days without food and water. And on the third day, God is saying to Ananias, just a normal disciple, God is saying to Ananias, Ananias, I've got a word from heaven for you. I have a word from the very Father's heart for you. The Holy Spirit is telling him, you go to the street that is called Straight. And there you will find a man named Saul. Go lay your hands upon him and tell him to receive the Holy Spirit. And he will receive. There are some people, you might not be a pastor, you might not be an evangelist, you might not be even an intercessor. But I have news for you under the third day. If you are a disciple of Christ, he's going to fill you with vision from heaven. And he's going to move you to touch other people's life with his presence. He's going to move you. You're going to speak the prophetic word of God. You're going to go and raise up a soul and tell him, Saul, you are no longer Saul, you're Paul. You will take the gospel across the world. Amen. Nobody's are going to become somebody's on the third day. People wouldn't look at you. Not a pastor, not an evangelist, just sitting at home. An old man, Ananias. God says to him, third day, son, it is third day. Get up and go to the street called Straight. You know why God put Saul in the street called Straight? Because God wanted to straighten him out. The street was called Straight, if you look the scripture, before he could receive the anointing. Some of you want to be straightened out. But tonight I pray the Lord will do it. Somebody's going to come and lay his hands on you and prophesy over you. On the third day, look at someone and say, I'm glad I belong the third day. I'm going to be used by God mightily. In Jesus' name. Amen. Open with me the scriptures to number 10. Where is my Bible? Where I keep? Numbers 35. 10. Pardon me. 10th chapter. And this is what God is saying. So it was the 35th verse. Whenever the ark set out, that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. You know when Moses said this? The 33rd verse says, So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them for 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was whenever the ark set out that Moses said, Rise up, O Lord. That is the first thing. Rise up, O Lord. Let thy enemies be scared. The second thing. And third thing is return, O Lord, unto many thousands of Israel. It is on the third day. Remember, the people of Israel traveling from Egypt under the promised land, they didn't have a compass to guide them. They didn't have a map. But they had something over their heads. There was a cloud covering. There was fire in the clouds during the night to guide them. And this cloud covering and the presence of the fire would guide them. And on the third day it was that God is saying, I'm going to rise up for you. And that your enemies be scattered. Remember this, my brother, my sister. There is an enemy that every disciple of Jesus got. He's got three enemies. One is his own sinful nature. One is the enemy called Lucifer, Satan. And then there is the world which is associating with him and which wants to gel up with your old nature. But on the third day, I have news for you. If you will look to the cloud of glory, God is going to arise over your life tonight. On this year, God is going to arise over your life. And your enemies are going to be scattered. He might come from one direction, but he will have to flee in seven different directions. You are not the one who is going to be on the run. It is the devil who is going to be on the run. For God's word says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Look at someone and say, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Let God arise. His enemies be scattered. This is the time when God is going to rise into your lives. Look to the cloud. Look to the manifested presence of God. You will find into this third year, I strongly believe, the world is going to stay the same way it was before. You remember the word in Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2, where second verse it says, Darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. But you and me do not need to worry, for the glory of Yahweh shall rest upon you. Glory of Yahweh is going to rest upon you. The presence of God is going to rest upon you. And you will find that the enemies of God in your life are going to be scattered. No more to your sinful nature pulling you back. You will find there's a grace abounding and your old nature becomes crucified in Christ. You're dead in Christ. You're alive in Christ. How many of you are going to move into the third day? Stand up with me for a minute. Look to Jesus now. I'm just going to pray the presence of God upon you now. There's a presence coming down in this place. Just lift your hands. Just give a shout of praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. you, Father. Praise you, Father. Oh, Yamahula Manadi, Yamakal Modire, Banu Dalabi, Ashorientie. Shura Halbolani, Morobul Banya, Roma Karie. Deva Baba, Shuta Banadu, Habalbari, Nebashia. Oh, Yali Shuta Nabahula Manadi, Yoshate. Riba Banaha Karia Bashita, Rabashita. Oh, Riba Baba Baba Bahalura Mashiri Rabu Hakiri. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Yala Rumu Yabibesha. Oh, Yabashuda Labadula Badini Baba Bashiga. Oh, Yabashiga Yeridu. Oh, Riba Baba Baba. Oh, Riba Baba Baba. Ruba Baba 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 Bashika Baba Nidirida. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Hallelujah. We just want to pray the anointing and the presence of God upon our lives tonight. Jesus the baptized is here. He's here. Every eye upon him. Every heart in worship. We're going to ask God's presence to be upon us today.
To receive a fresh anointing from God tonight as we sing together as one body in Christ Jesus, hold the hand of the person standing next to you and sing together with your hands lifted up. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit.
people. There is a wind of God's glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the power of your resurrection, let the power of your glory, let the power of your presence come down upon your people tonight in this place. Let God's glory move. Touch your people now. Touch them now. Touch them now. Touch them all.
It is also wishing you Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Are you with me? Merry Christmas, because Jesus is coming into your life in a fresh way. There's an anointing, a third day anointing upon you, and a Happy New Year. Hallelujah. Oh, yes.
We wanna wish you a happy new year.
Oh, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad that you belong to Jesus? Aren't you glad that you belong to Jesus? Amen.